Good morning, everybody. So I know you all are wondering, is Jeff going to tell a story about Mike? So, we're at Winds Baptist Church, and I'm the senior associate pastor, and I have all the education ministry, so that means Mike is youth pastor, so I get to have Mike, you know? And then I had preschool director, and then Cheryl had all the children's ministries. And, you know, when you're the senior associate pastor, you're responsible for all the administration stuff, so you know what I mean, right? Okay. And so one day, come in on a Monday, and I look across the street from Winds, and there's this giant skate ramp. And I'm going, what in the world? You know, I said, Mike, you know anything about that? He goes, yeah, me and Earl were busy over the weekend. And I said, dude, I don't know if we can have one of those or not. You know, so I called the insurance company. I said, hey, I just want to make sure, are you okay with us having a skate ramp? And they said, no. But the reason he did it was because, man, I'll tell you what, Mike would just reach out all the time to every youth he could come across. That's why Winds ended up with a bus. And this school bus would be rolling down the road, and there'd be Mike hanging out the side of the school bus with half of the kids. They converted the house across the street. We were selling hot dogs and french fries out of the house to kids after school. And, man, kids were getting saved left and right, man. And I know you guys, I'm just telling you that story, even though it's a lot of fun to talk about. You know the kind of pastor you have here, that's his heart. It doesn't matter what it takes. He's going to go reach people for Christ. And Mike, I'm just so grateful that you're here and that you guys called him to hear it. And man, if you don't know already, you're in for a ride. And you're probably experiencing that already, right? And praise God for that. And thank you. So many friends I'm looking out here. I didn't know Don Crane was going to be here. I'm really nervous now because he's like, you know, right up here as far as, you know, pastors go, right? So, but Don, you've been a mentor to me. Thank you, brother, for being here. And so many of you. And Denny and I have known each other for about as long as I've known Mike. And it's been a blessing to be your friend. And I'm looking forward to spending more time with you this week. I just want to kind of tell you a little bit about what we've been doing for the last 10 years. And when we got called to Houston, it was like, you know, I've been in Houston before. I was in Houston twice before. I'm like, do I really have to go back to Houston? And and the Lord said, well, I did send your grandkids down there first. So, you know, it was made a little bit easier for us to go back to Houston. And so I'm going to share a little bit about who Mission Centers is. This way, you know, some of you are wondering, what's he been doing? So I'm going to give you a little insight into what we've been doing and what Mission Center is all about. This is our mission statement, and there's a little map up there, and you can see the map. Those two dots, we have two community centers. And in the dot that's right in the middle, right above the word Houston, that's where our base is, you know, and our office and where we work out of. And Houston, you just kind of typify it as three concentric circles. It's like a bullseye. And downtown Houston's right in the center of that. And those are roads that go out around there. And that big road that's out on the end, that's not even the furthest one out. They're building another one out there. There's like 7 million people. And if somebody says, hey, where are you? Say, I'm just down the road. It really literally could take you an hour and a half to get just down the road to go to one side to another. So Houston's a big place. And what we've been doing is we're ministering to people that are basically in the inner city of Houston. So we've got two communities and community centers, and both of those are underserved communities. And we're very fortunate because we have missionary families that God has called there to basically live in the communities and to minister to them through in the near north side and the greater east end of Houston. And these are the programs we run at those centers. We run after-school outreach and discipleship programs. And you know what the kids are doing right there? Those little kids are praying over Operation Christmas Child boxes that Cheryl had to make up to send out so they can themselves understand how to reach the world. And that's our youth programs that we run. We have a huge senior adult program. Being in underserved communities, there's a lot of generational poverty. And the main thing the senior adults need is to be together. And so we offer programs where we serve them meals and give them word from the Bible, take them on field trips, things like that. And then we have a homeless ministry at one of our centers. And you'll learn a little bit about that more as I talk today. We have also what we call women with purpose. There's a lot of moms in the community that are single moms, or maybe their husbands are just working all the time. And what we try to do is we try to lift them up and empower them and teach them skills and through God's word. And so they work together. Those ladies are our, we call them our kitchen ladies. You know, every church has kitchen ladies, right? And as I smell coming in, I know we have some here. But they come in from the community and they just want to serve and give back because we bless their children. And then for seniors that don't get out, we got something really special. We go out to them. We take them groceries. And that little lady right there, she has a shawl that one of our church partners, a sewing ministry, made. And she put that shawl on. She was so happy just to receive that and get some warmth during the winter. We have food pantries at all of our locations where we offer food for anybody that needs it. And it's a place also where we bring in food so that we can prepare meals. And then we have what we call Christmas stores. You don't buy anything, but if your kids come to our programs at Christmas time, the parents can come in and shop and get gifts for their kids. And they take them home already wrapped up and put them under the tree. So this way the parents have gifts to give their children. We partnered with schools last year. We had, I think we helped 16 different schools with just different things to help out and try to partner with them in our community. And then we do some special events. One of Cheryl's favorite things to do then is we call it kind of the next gen. We want to invest in the next generation and teach them how to do mission work. And so we have college interns that come. We get them from Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Maryland. And they come through the Baptist Student Ministries. And they come and they stay with us. We've got a dorm, has 30 beds in it, right on top of our office. So it's kind of exciting. And they come every summer, spend 9 weeks, live with us, and they run our ministries. We teach them how to do it. And then what we do is we have youth groups to come in. So if you have a youth group that wants to make a trip to Houston, we got a place for you. And they come down and serve during the summer as well. So the newest part of Mission Centers we call the Compassion Center. We started really thinking and praying about, Lord, what do you want us to do next? Because we're in these two communities we've been in for a long, long time, but Houston's big. And so he kind of led us to the scripture that said, Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build my mission centers. So we said, well, if Jesus wants to build his church, we need to figure out how to help the church be built. And so we started offering our services to small churches that were in other underserved communities in Houston. And through that, God has just blessed it. He gives us an incredible supply of physical goods. We get you wouldn't believe what we get from Amazon and HEB, which is like your local Publix. We just get a ton of things. We make this available to small churches that have bivocational pastors. And all throughout Houston, we want their church to be the hero of their community. Not somebody coming in to be, you know, and help somebody, but for them to be the church and raise it up from inside. And so we provide them training and coaching, collaborating together. And as of right now, we've got 57 of these churches, so it's a lot to keep up with. We hired a young church planter, and he's working full-time for us, leading that ministry, and it's really working great. So anyway, it's why we're tired. You know, we kind of come up here and rest because it's a lot to keep up with. So just you can read some of those numbers. That just gives you an idea of how much output. But really the outcome is based on are people's lives being changed for Jesus Christ. And as you can see down there, because of all of our partners, we recorded a total of 379 decisions for Christ last year. Which is amazing, you know.
Amen.
It's really amazing. And then down below that's how many volunteer hours. We got almost 20,000. That's like having 10 full-time people. So people from all over come and help us, and it's a blessing. And you know what? Cheryl gets to keep up with all that. She gets to keep up. Not only does she come up, she keep up with all the kids' ministries. She keeps up with all the interns, all the volunteers, and she's part-time, so... How about that? Isn't that the way it usually is? Yeah. Ingrid, you understand, right? Yeah. I got it. Okay. So anyway, we're also an affiliate of Send Relief. It's the North American Mission Board Send Relief Ministry. We're one of two in whole Southeast Texas. And so we're real privileged to have that with them. And we get their support and recognized, you know, throughout North America because of that. And we just got that last year, so we're really excited about what that's going to bring. So anyway, that's about mission centers. We need to get into God's Word this morning, right? Amen. So I'm going to talk to you about a lot about what we've learned since we've been there for the past 10 years. Kind of the Jesus perspective on poverty. And honestly, when I came to mission centers, I didn't understand this very well. And hopefully today I can help you look through the lens of Christ into how he looks at poverty and his solution to it. So we're going to call it Jesus Explains Poverty. First thing I want to say is poverty is not just about the lack of money. So many times, you know, we think, man, if they only had more, if they could have the American dream, you know, maybe that would solve the problems, that people wouldn't be in poverty. And when we think about it, what we want to do is we want to try to reach out and help people that don't have resources. That's what we want to do. We're compelled to do that. Why? Well, number one, we have the love of Christ in us, right? In fact, in 1 John 3, we're told if we don't help others in need when we have the ability to do so, how can the love of God be in us? So it indwells us. We want to help people. We're told in Matthew 22, chapter 22, that we're commanded to love your neighbor as yourself. And then in Luke chapter 3, we're instructed to share our food and clothing with those who have needs. So it's ingrained in us, and it's what the Bible teaches us to do. We're to help other people. But that's not all there is about it. We can actually miss the mark if that's all we're thinking is we need to help give people things that they need that we think they need. There was an Olympian in 2004 by the name of Matthew Evans. He was a sharpshooter. You know, in the Olympics they have like target shooting, and they go around to different targets. And this guy was so good. He was like so many points ahead of even the guy that would be coming in second. He got to his last target, and it was easy. He could hit anywhere on the target, the four concentric rings going out. He could hit anywhere on that target, and he would win the gold medal. So he gets up there, he gets ready to shoot his target, takes a deep breath, lets it out, slowly pulls the trigger, perfect bullseye. You know the problem was? Shot the wrong target. Got a zero for that round, fell all the way to eighth place, and just like that. And it's because he missed the mark. You know, he had everything together, and he said, I know what I got to do. Boom. He missed the mark. And that can happen to us sometimes. We should always be willing and ready to help, but we got to understand, sometimes in our want to, we can really miss the mark. And we need to look at it from Jesus' perspective when we help people. We should always be ready to help, but sometimes it's the wrong target. And the problem is with poverty, it's rooted in brokenness. Okay, it's not rooted in the lack of one thing. It's brokenness, and brokenness has a lot of different pieces to it. I'm going to show you a diagram. It's a little bit complex, but if you can make this out, this is about the best way I can describe what poverty looks like. It's a set of broken relationships. And those relationships can be with other people. You'll see that as you look at the arrow as it goes to the right, where your people are self-centered. You become very self-centered. You exploit other people. You might be abusive or not care about people. And so your relationships get broken with others. You might have, on the opposite side, you might have a broken relationships with what God's already provided. This comes in the form of, like, abuse. You take alcohol, for example, and you abuse alcohol, or you get addicted, or, you know, you don't take care of what God's given you, and your laziness. These are broken relationships with the physical world. You may have also a brokenness in a relationship with God himself, and because maybe you don't believe, maybe you have other idols, you know, that are in your life. And then finally, if you look down below, you might have a brokenness of self. And this is kind of almost what happens when the others come together. You got low self-esteem, you lack of dignity, a lack of hope. You don't have any self-control. You don't even feel like you need God. You're just going to take care of yourself. And this is what we see so many times in our ministry. We have a big homeless ministry where we get about 100 homeless people to come in every Monday. And there's maybe 20 or 30 of them that are normally there, And then the rest are kind of transient. But 90 to 100, we feed them a meal. We give them a word from God. We give them some things to take home, like hygiene items and things like that, clothing. And we see this combination of brokenness so prevalent. I'm going to tell you about a guy named Bones. Okay, now this is a senior adult, and during our senior adult ministry one day, this guy comes up to me and he introduces himself. He said, "My name's Bill, but you can call me Bones." That's what everybody calls me Bones, I guess because he was skinny. And Bones has been living on the street for a long time. And as I got to know Bones, I found out that, man, he had all this, what you saw on the diagram. It started where he started to verbally abuse his two daughters. And it got to the point where they just didn't want him around anymore. They put him out of the house and, in fact, refused to ever even let him come back. And that disconnected him, not only from his family, but from his grandchildren. And it really hurt him. What that led to next was he started to ease the pain up a little bit of that brokenness. He started to abuse alcohol and drugs. Well, what did that happen? Caused him to lose his job. And so he starts, all of a sudden feels like he's garbage. He's not worth anything. There's no hope. How am I ever going to dig out of this hole? And then he started blaming God. And so he had all this going on at the same time. And that's how I found him. And when he came to me, he had been coming out of that. You're going to hear a little more about that in a minute because it's really exciting what happened to him. But I thought about Bones. I thought he was really the poster child of what that brokenness looks like. And we can have any aspect of this brokenness. Any person can have any aspect of this. But when you have them all, man, you're in a deep hole. And so this is a poverty. This is exactly what Jesus was addressing whenever we look at John chapter 6 in verse 25. Let me give you a little background. And we read that scripture early. The background is the feeding of the 5,000. And you remember that story. 5,000 men, which means there could have been 15, 20,000 people there. They're all following Jesus. He's doing ministry around the Sea of Galilee. He's healing tons of people. And all these people are following him around, right? Because this is incredible. Who is this guy? They're following him around. And it's getting late. All the people are there. He's got this huge crowd. And he says to Philip, he said, "These getting late. These people need to eat. We need to give them something to eat." And the Bible said he was testing Philip because he knew what he was going to do. And Philip said, "Well, how are we going to feed all these people? I mean, even if we could, it would take a year's wages. We don't have that kind of money." And then they said, "Well, the only food I see around here is this little boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what's that going to do?" And Jesus said, "Have him sit down." And you know how the story goes. He sat down and then he fed him and he started handing out basketfuls of bread and fish. And there was so much left that at the end they were able to gather up 12 basketfuls left over. It was an amazing thing. And the Bible says that the people wanted to make Jesus king. And he sensed that they were going to try to force him into being their king. So he withdrew to get off by himself. Night came. The disciples decided that night to get in to their boat and go on the other side of the sea. And while they were going over there, that's the famous night where the sea got rough and then Jesus walked on the water to them. That all happened during that night. So the next morning, here comes all the people. And they're looking around. They don't see Jesus. They don't see the disciples. They're wondering, where is he? And so next thing you know, they're looking. They say, "Oh, the boats are gone." So they get onto the other side of the lake where Capernaum is, and they go over there and they see Jesus. And that's where we pick up the scripture. So let's read that again. It said, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" I love this. This is the gospel right here. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." See, Jesus is the answer to poverty. He is the answer to poverty. Anything else is a temporary fix. And that's what Jesus was saying here. Basically, I mean, he was confronting them because he's like, look, you're just looking at me for another meal. You're coming back to me because you're hungry. Or maybe somebody's sick among you. And that's what you really want me to do. But man, I can offer so much more. I can offer so much more. You're not realizing who I am. You're not seeing the signs of who I am. What those things point to. They point to who Jesus is. You ever teach a Sunday school lesson to kids? And then you do a review, right? And you think, man, I did a really good job. And they do a review. And you ask them a question. You say, okay, kids, who was in the fiery furnace? And what's the answer? Jesus! Right? They're going to answer Jesus because they figure that's the right answer every time. So who was in the lion's den? Jesus! You know? Who was on the road to Damascus? Jesus! Well, they're right about a lot of this, right? But that seems to be always the answer. Cheryl was teaching our kids at one of the mission centers. And she was teaching them about Nehemiah. And you know, when you teach kids, you go, Nehemiah, you're right, you point to your knee. Then she put up all these giant Lego blocks, and she was building the wall, teaching them about the wall. And she gets all finished, and man, they're really getting it, right? And she gets all finished, and she asked the question, okay, kids, who built the wall? And one of them stood up and said, Trump! True story, right? As sure as Cheryl's sitting there, and the kid was dead serious. I'm thinking, okay, I didn't expect that one. but when kids answer the word Jesus to any question, he is the answer to any question. He's the answer to our brokenness. And that's what Jesus was saying to them. He goes, you know, you're looking for more food for the stomach. You're looking to get a healing. But man, what you need is me. And that's the answer to when we work with people in poverty. Jesus is always the answer. So, you remember I told you about Bones, right? So Bones, when I first met him, he was starting to come out of this. And the reason, out of his brokenness, and the reason was because Bones, he just decided, you know what, I've got to trust Christ. He knew who Jesus was, and he said, I've just got to surrender and trust him. And so because he did that, all of a sudden his viewpoint towards everything changed. I mean, he still didn't have a job. He was bipolar, sometimes didn't have his medications. And when he was off his medication, it was really tough to work with him. But the times he was on, man, he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to tell you about these homeless. I live with them. He goes, these people are not human puddles that you just walk over or you avoid. He said, they're real human beings. And he used to say, they just need their halos buffed up a bit. And that's what he would describe it as. And he said, I just feel like God wants me to help them. So I said, well, let's do it, man. Let's do it together. And so that started about a two-year journey with us. And what we would do, Bones knew where all the homeless guys were. He knew where they lived. We found one guy living under a banana plant on the sidewalk, and he had cancer and he couldn't get up. I mean, who would have known this guy needed help, right? And what Bones did was he would bring guys in. And there's Bones. They'd bring him in, and we'd gather up like sleeping bags, shoes, clothing, anything we could find that we think the homeless would need. And Bones would bring him in, and we'd talk to him about Jesus and then help him out and get him on their way. And man, Bones, he was just blossoming. And what happened to him, after about 2 years, he finally was able to get his Social Security benefits. Once he got his Social Security benefits, then he went through a program and he got a subsidized apartment. So he's living in an apartment, doing really well. I took him out to lunch one day, and you know, we're still doing ministry together. And unfortunately, he got sick. He got really sick, and then Bones passed away. But man, after 2 years, he left a legacy. And what that did for us was we said, you know what? We got to really do this for our homeless population. When they come in to see us, let's open the doors. It's hot outside in Houston in the summer. We have air conditioning. It's cold in the winter. We got heat. So come in, sit down, have a meal. Let's have a time of community together. And then let's share God's word together. And that's what we do every Monday now. And it's a beautiful thing. And he left that legacy. And what we're seeing is people really responding. We've got a Bible study that I now do with them. So 10 or 15 of them stay after, and they come to a separate Bible study. We never had that before. And then we got one guy that came to us just recently, and he was trying to describe to us what God's been doing to him. And the way he described it was, he would just put my arms on. God wants me to put my arms on. He just nails me to my cross. And he says, but I got to tell people. I got to tell people. And he didn't really understand what was going on, right? And we said, well, how are you going to tell him? He goes, I need to get baptized. So I said, well, let's plan it. Let's do it. And while all of your homeless brothers are looking, we're going to have a baptism, sir. That's coming up. We're going to do that in April. But the whole answer is Jesus. It's getting them to Jesus and then let Jesus change them. And that's what Jesus was saying. He goes, don't work for the things that waste away. Don't work for the food. Don't work for that. Do the work of God, which is to believe in Him. And that's what you need to do. So, as I look at that, I think that's really the model we follow. And one of the places I learned that, how many of you have been to Nicaragua? Right? Some of you have been here, right? You've taken trips to Nicaragua. We went down there on mission a number of times. We were helping a church in Nicaragua. They were basically planting a church. It was right across from the dump. And this dump was the city dump. It's so nasty, but people would go into the dump and try to find things that they could take and sell, right? It was so horrible, and the kids, just poor living conditions. And we went down there on a trip one time, and we went in there into the church that they were building, and the kids were just happy. And the people were fixing food, and they greeted us, and they were happy. And I asked our translator, I said, man, how can they, look at the conditions they're living in. How can they be happy? He said, well, I'll tell you why. It's because what they teach them is they have dignity. If they have Jesus, then they don't need anything else. And they're just happy because they realize how much Jesus means to them. And I'm like, how awesome is that? And I learned a lot that day. I'm thinking, you know, we have so much. And even though we want to share it, boy, we can miss that mark. The mark is Jesus. And that's where it needs to all start. He told everybody He is the breath of life. The bread of life. Now, here's the thing. After He told them that, the story gets really interesting. After He told them, look, I am the bread of life, and you're really missing the mark. Jesus really hit them between the eyes. He gave them something earth-shattering. Here's a little later in John 6, this is what it records. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats this, my flesh, and drinks my blood, remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread, speaking about Jesus Himself, will live forever. And so when we look at this, this is some pretty crazy statements. When you think about it, Jesus is going, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood? What in the world? This is crazy talk almost. And can you imagine what the people were saying? Oh, maybe 10, 15,000 people standing there that He says this to. And what's the Bible say what happened next? In verse 66, it tells us, many people turned back because it was too hard of a teaching. And right there at that point, you realize, you see what's going on? People sometimes want to come to Jesus. Like you get people that want to come to a church. We get people all the time calling, hey, I need help. I'm going to lose my house. I need rent. And it's like what we want to do is we want to talk to them about, let's talk about Jesus. Let's get back to the starting point because of the brokenness in your life. You may never have money. Like those people in Nicaragua, they may never have the money they need. But they can have Jesus and be rich and have dignity, right? And so Jesus, when He said this, the Bible says many turned away from Him and no longer followed Him. Isn't that something? Isn't that the way it is today? Many people hear about what Jesus can offer, which is not just helping you with your physical needs. He'll provide everything you need. He promises us that. But man, so many people reject the message of who He is, that I can change your life. I can be all that you need. And so many people miss that. Jesus turned to His disciples And he said, so what do you guys want to do? Do you want to leave me too? And he said, where will we go, Lord? You have the words of life. And that's it right there. When people get to that point, when you're helping them, you know, just it's great to help people. But the point is, we got to help get down below the level. We got to build a relationship. We got to spend enough time with them to get them to know that Jesus can not only provide everything you need, but he can provide you a rich life, right? I mean, we all know this. That's why we're sitting here. But so many people don't. So what about you? You know, as I think about this, you know, what's the application as we're sitting in church today? Maybe you were looking at that diagram and you said, yeah, you know what? I got some relationships that really caused me a big problem. Maybe you're suffering with some kind of an addiction. Maybe you just don't think you're worth it. Or how could God ever use me? Or how could God approve of me? Whatever it is, that's all part of this brokenness thing that's poverty. You might have a lot of money. You can still be in poverty because you have brokenness in your life. And you know what? The answer to it all, just like Jesus said, it's him. I love that we were singing, talking about abide in me, right? If we allow Jesus to abide in us, he'll take care of those brokenness. He'll provide all we need. And then from the inside out, he'll fix those problems as you let him. So maybe you're here today and you just need to spend some time with the Lord saying, Lord, help me with this part of brokenness that I have. Help me with that. Or maybe today you're like, you know what? I got to start from scratch. I have never even surrendered my life to Jesus. And you know what? There's no better time than today to do it. Amen. I know Pastor Mike's going to be out here, some of the elders. Don't leave here today. If something convicted you, if you heard something along from what I've been talking about, and you're like, man, I need God to take care of this today. Let him take care of it today. And Mike will pray with you. We've got plenty of folks that will pray with you. But don't leave before you get it right, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. It's a word. It's more than a word, Father. It's life. And we thank you, Father, for it. Thank you for helping us to understand that poverty is really it's really more symptoms. And the root cause of it comes from our brokenness, from living in a fallen world and letting that infect our lives. But Father, you can fix it all. You are the answer. You are the one. You are the bread of life. You have everything we need. So Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here today. If they're carrying something, if they have any brokenness in their life at all, that's one form of poverty. And it might feel like that. It's just like, man, I can't get past this. It's just dragging me down. Father, they can solve that today by first surrendering their life to you. Not looking for a temporary fix, but surrendering their life totally to you. And for us who need help in this, Father, Lord, I just ask you to do it. Don't let anybody leave here today before they get that right with you. Father, thank you for this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.